Hello, everyone. Thanks for being here for this afternoon session. So I'm David from Raeburn Fine Wines in the UK. We're an importer distributor focused on high quality wine from ethical farming. As sort of a side project, I publish a potted timeline of the history of ethical wine farming, including books and fairs and certification, partly to see where we came from in order to get where we hope we need to go. So that's available on Raeburn Wines website. So we've got two wineries here to talk to us about their new buildings. So it's a chance to have a deep dive, really, and look into more detail. And it's probably one of the areas that doesn't get included in a lot of, sustainability conferences. So I think it's really interesting. Before we start, there's an amazing quote. I couldn't find my copy here, but there's an amazing quote in one of Emile Peynot's books saying that the ultimate thing you can do as a winemaker is design the building that allows the wine to make itself. And then you need to do less winemaking. And that's from, I think, from the 1960s. He's probably quite wise. What I'll do is I'll ask Vicky to introduce herself and Marie and Oscar from Famille Perrin. So if you maybe just introduce yourselves to start with. Okay, Vicky, tell us who you are and what you do and why.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Vicky González Gordon, coming from González Villas and fifth generation of the family, chief sustainability officer since some months ago. I was explaining this morning a little bit about our company. We have remained family-owned. Company was set up 1835. First years of the company were focused on only sherry, so sherry and brandy coming from Jerez. About 40 years ago, we started expanding in other regions, first Spain, then we went across to Chile and Mexico as well. Most of the times we have bought a winery, but in some cases we have created or built our own winery. And for example, for this topic today, we have built a new winery in Veronia, which is in Dio Rueda. We have sustainability program since 2013, which is called 5 plus 5 caring for the planet, and it refers to the five generations of the family that have led the company until today, so that the next five can continue the mission. Each of our wineries, we've got 12 wineries in total, have their own sustainability plan. So we coordinate everything and have like a roadmap, but each of them, as each winery is in a different region and has different challenges, has different buildings. So each has their own plan and their own challenges. So it's kind of good way now of seeing different things and aspects, and to share between all winemakers, between the different teams, well, different resources, different solutions. So that's a bit of my background.
Okay, great. Oscar and Marie.
So hello everyone. I am Marie Fourreur from Famille Perrin. I'm the CSR project manager, and I have a background in agronomy and agriculture engineering. And Oscar?
I just recently joined the CSR team here. So I'm also working on the project at Famille Perrin. And yeah.
Yeah, to present a bit Famille Perrin. So it's a wine company located in the southeast of France. It is owned by the fifth generation of Famille Perrin. Each member of the family is responsible of a department. It can be marketing, business, technique, enology, vineyard. We have around 400 hectares of vineyards, and we own several wine domains, like Château de Beaucastel, Château de Miraval, the brand Famille Perrin, because we are also a negotiant in wine. We have also the Maison et Domaine Les Alexandrins, which is in the Rhône Valley. And for us, sustainability has always been in the hearts of the philosophy of the family. So we have always been doing some action concerning sustainability. And a few years ago, we have really built a strong strategy on sustainability and organized things. And today we would like to speak about more specifically on the renovation project of Château de Beaucastel.
Okay.
Running this conference.
Great. So, Vicky, you've built two new wineries, is that right?
Well, we have built in total three because we did Finca Constancia, which is in Toledo. That was many years ago. And more recently, Veronia in Rueda and Veronia in Rioja. Yeah.
Okay. And those are, so I've been learning about this. One of them or both of them are LEED certified?
Only the one in Rioja. We got the certification. That's the LEED V4 gold certificate. We got that one in February.
Okay.
So a year ago. Well, yeah. Year ago. A bit more than a year ago now. Yes.
Yeah. So it turns out there are two major like world environmental schemes for buildings, BREEAM, which is based in the UK, and LEED, which is based out of the US, so, with sort of different ways of calculating buildings. So this is really interesting. And so when did you start those projects?
Well, the one in Rioja, well, the winery in Rueda, we inaugurated. First harvest was 2017. When that was over, we started planning or working on the new Rioja winery. So right. That took, let me think, it started to summer 2017, we started with the project or giving the project to a specific engineering company. Then work started in May 2018. We did first harvest 2019. And the winery was open 2020, which was a very difficult moment in the end, no? Because we opened. We had this new, absolutely stunning winery working, but nobody could go and see it because this was in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah. So, how did you choose your architects?
Well, we worked with EDOM. This is a quite a big engineer and an architect studio, which is, I think its origin in Spain. They already did the two previous projects for us. And okay. Something that we really like is that they have a whole team of specialists. So they have a landscape specialist, they have the geologists, they have physicians, they have architects, they have engineers. So everything we could have in the same place, and they could do, let's say, a holistic project, a 360 project for us, which was something very important, no? Because we had something very specific in mind.
And so the brief you gave them, did you say we want a new sustainable winery, or how? What did you say?
Well, the brief we said the problem was that we had run overproduction for the Veronia winery. So we needed either to make the Veronia winery bigger or to build a new one. So, we went for the second option. We decided to build to do a new building, which was more efficient, but we wanted to do, I mean, Veronia did, it has now a name, has good sales, and we wanted to do something that went not together with the brand. So we want to, first thing was in this new building, we were only going to do like the top level wines. So that's the Reservas, Gran Reservas, Vinos de Autor, Vinos de Parcela. So all specific connected to the land, let's say. Then we wanted to do something which was modern, but which was discreet. So we didn't want some like a stunning building that would go out of style soon, let's say. We wanted something to remain, no? With this long-term vision in mind. Then we wanted both wineries to be connected, so they needed to be in the same state. The land over there is, let's say, a bit undulated, so we wanted to make use of it and integrate the winery in its surrounding. We didn't want to do something like really flashy over there that disturbed nature. We wanted it to be integrated. And then we wanted it to be efficient and we wanted it to be sustainable. So we wanted to make the most of the use of the sun, which we're in Spain, there's sun over here. We wanted to make the most of the light. We wanted to use clean energies when possible because we knew this is something that was coming, and we wanted to be sustainable because we wanted the winery to remain for many years, and all that needed to be in balance with a leg of the business, which is wine tourism. We wanted the building to be attractive for people and for people to come and visit, and for the brand message to still be alive over there. So it was complex. It was complex.
Yeah. Okay. And Marie and Oscar, when did the project at Bocastel start?
So the project first started in 2018 for us. We set up a company with a startup, an architecture startup called BAM. That's because architecture matters. And so the process we went through was to set up effectively a competition to select our winning design, I suppose. Okay. And so it was an absolute resounding success. We had 290 applications in total. And we eventually went with a design that was proposed by Studio Mumbai Architects. And that was in August 2018.
Okay. And when did the build start?
The build itself started in 2021 because we had to do a lot of digging first. So a big part of the project was that we decided to place all of our cellars underground and as much of the building as possible underground to make use of the natural coolness that we have in the earth.
Yeah,
and that was a conscious decision. So before we built up, we had to dig down
and also destruct a part of the actual building. And some parts have been given to association and companies to be reused also, like doors, windows, and things like this.
Yeah.
And is it finished yet?
Not finished till April 2024 is when we're expecting it to be finished. But okay. We've had several setbacks, I think, because we're very dependent on the weather when we can build and all that kind of thing. But yeah, similarly to your case, Vicky, we had a lot of targets that we wanted the architecture to meet. So a big point for us was to limit the need for air conditioning in the building and to limit also water consumption, to use a natural source of ventilation and a natural source of energy production. And we also wanted it to blend into the background and to be really representative of the famille Perrin approach, which is respect to the soil, respect to the environment. And so we wanted it to blend into the environment as well.
Okay. And Vicky, was there a particular emphasis on materials used in the build?
Well, we have built everything with concrete because, as Oscar, I think, was also mentioning, not to make the most of the thermal inertia. This is, we have installed geothermia, and this is the best way to do it. So, basically concrete for the building. And we have used also, the case is quite similar. I want to have a look at the winery you're talking about because we have. Because of the undulating way of the state, now we have built, there's about 8 meter difference. So all the production process is underground. Mm-hmm. So we have this cool temperature, as is your case. We work with gravity as well for the production process. And all the social area is at ground level. So we make also a good use of natural light. There's a lot of glass, and so you are really connected with the vineyard. So for a person that is visiting, the experience is also very good because you are interacting all the time with the landscape. but you are not going to interrupt anything because all production is underground. You can go and see it, and there's, I don't know, corridors, so you don't interrupt, but you see everything. And if you're upstairs and you're just enjoying a glass of wine, whatever, then you're, let's say, like two differentiated spaces. So it seems to me that both of them have like the same structure, probably.
And other sources of energy. So you mentioned geothermal. That's quite a new thing for wineries. Did you use any other?
Yeah, well, we have geothermia, we have aerothermia as well. So for also cooling or heating the building for the air conditioning. Then we have solar thermal panels. These are on the roof of the building. Mm-hmm. It's quite nice because if you're in the road, you don't get to see anything. Once you get close, because it's really, really integrated in the landscape. Once you get close, you start to see like sort of the shape, kind of a half moon shape or something like that. But the roof is all green. It's all a green garden using plants that are from the area and that need very little water. In the roof, we collect water. And also we have these solar thermal panels. They are kind of shaped like that to get the sun. So yeah. This is something that you can see. It's kind of the only thing you can see, something over there in the roof. And then we have photovoltaic panels as well.
Okay. I'm going to ask Marie and Oscar the same question, but Vicky, could you possibly find a photo or two to show us in a moment?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Oscar and Vicky, materials and energy sources.
Yeah, so materials, one of the reasons that the Perrin decided to go with the design by Studio Mumbai Architects is because they were using a very particular form of construction material, in that they identified the potential of the soil itself as a potential construction material. Okay. So they've used some very old, inspired by ancestral techniques to form compacted soil, which is essentially the walls of the building. So, of course, it blends right into the landscape, and it's actually saved a huge amount of carbon in terms of transportation of the materials cost, because all the materials are essentially coming from the site. So we've estimated that it's about 7,000 tons of building materials that we haven't had to bring from anywhere else.
Okay.
As a result of this process. And yeah, in terms of making you feel like you're involved with the landscape, the literal earth is the building that you're standing in. So that was really central to the idea of what we were thinking.
So was there a sort of production site set up there to make the rammed earth units?
Yeah. So I've got a little photo for you here. I don't know if you can see, but so they essentially did lots of studies of the soil. Uh-huh. And they developed these compacted blocks of soil, essentially, which could then be bound together. And so, yeah, on site, they mix the soil in a cement style mixer. But they've previously gone through and filtered all the soil to choose the useful bits for each part of the construction.
It's
a very manual heavy process, but it's been very rewarding, I think, in terms of knowing that the carbon impact is minimal, essentially.
Yeah. And then have you looked, does the building include things like water capture or water for air conditioning or solar?
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, it also has a number of solar panels, which we expect will produce around 73,000 kilowatts per year, which is the equivalent to about 20 houses. And so we're hoping that will allow us to be 85% self-sustainable in terms of that on the average year. In terms of water, we've worked a lot on water capture. There's a whole system. And underneath the building in the underground section, there's a large water tank, which we essentially will use to cool all of the cellars. And they've developed a very clever mechanism of using wind towers. And so these wind towers essentially allow us to capture the Mistral wind, which blows very strong speeds of 80 kilometers an hour on a lot of days of the year. And this will then pass through an underground system of chambers, which will allow us to cool the whole cellar and bring the whole temperature down to about 12 degrees, which we predict is perfect for the storage of our wines. So we won't need any air conditioning in theory.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a diagram of the Mistral and the airflow?
So we've got this, which might seem a little small on the printout. Can you see? I'm not sure.
Maybe I can share my screen if it's possible. And
Yeah, we can share the screen. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, great.
So the Mistral will enter from the northwest, essentially, which is the bit.
That's like the top left of this diagram?
Yeah, the top right, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, the top right. So then it enters by these wind towers. It then goes through this system, which cools all the water in the cellars. And then it exits. And upon the exit, there's a wind turbine, which will also collect energy.
Okay, great. So you're going to make some electricity out of the wind as well?
Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. Out of the residual wind.
And so, that cools down the cellar. So on the... On the bottom of the diagram, is that a top-down schematic or are those underground layers?
That's from the eagle's eye, I suppose, of the system of water tanks that we have in the basement.
Okay, I was worried that you had like eight.
No, it's not layers. No,
you never see the daylight. Okay, great.
Cool system.
Thanks for sharing that.
It looked like this.
And the chimneys, are here in front of you. So they will capture the wind essentially.
Yeah. So the walls look wonderful in your compacted earth.
Yes. Yeah. It's a really great idea.
It looks like stone, doesn't it, from the distance?
Absolutely, yeah. It's just compacted earth.
It looked like this, yeah.
Yeah, so this is the inside of the winery itself, how it will look and how it does look currently.
So it's quite a different approach to like, a Bordeaux Starkitect chateau with wings and bright colours and...
Yeah, we really wanted to get away from that and really reconnect with the earth and put that at the forefront, because that is what produces our wines, not Starkitecture.
Yeah. Vicky, this is interesting because I think, if I'm right, your family owns one of the oldest winery buildings by an unbelievably famous architect.
Well, our winery in Jerez, or wineries in Jerez, are dating from the 19th century, and it's more challenging to change anything here than to do something from scratch. Obviously, there are things that you can do to adapt an old building, trying to be efficient in terms of energy consumption. So first of all, measuring to see what's happening. This is absolutely key. And then, just changing the lighting to LED, using sensors, working a lot, because in Jerez is where we have most of the team. So we have, each winery has its own winemaking team, its own production team. But here in Jerez, we have most of the services centralized, like finance is here, logistics is here. So we also do a lot of internal work, like so that all the team knows that they need to turn off the lights, be careful with the water. It's a small thing, no? But in the end, when there's not so many things that you can do, this is also important for everyone, like to go on the same direction. Well, in Jerez, we have just... Well, it has taken some time, because from when you do the installation until they are operating or running, it does take some months. We have just inaugurated in the central offices, which are the historical ones, photovoltaic panels. Mm-hmm. They are in the roof of one of the cellars, and something that is quite impressive is that there's the yeast of the winery, the yeast that is around the winery, is also on the panels. So we need to clean them quite frequently. But yeah, we have installed in the central, we have installed photovoltaic, but in the in Las Copas, which is where we have the production center, there we have more things because it's easier. It's more in the industrial part than the historical beautiful buildings that we really cannot touch.
Yeah. And do you have a photograph of your winery in Rioja?
Yeah, let's see if I can. Taya. Compartir. Okay. So this is the winery. Yeah. So you see it's completely and integrated here. This is one of the sides. Let's see. This is the same side. Here in the top is what I was telling you about the solar thermal panels. This is the roof, which is completely green. And if you this is the back of the winery. This would be the entrance. So it's completely connecting one part of the vineyard with the other one. The roof is all green, which is what you see from the other photograph. You have this kind of, how do you say, techo, like here. All this is glass, but it has, I don't know the name for that, cantil, something like little roof. So you get the light, but you don't get all the heat. Yeah. Like you don't get all the direct sun for all this area here. Yeah, so this is Veronia.
That looks great. And how long would you say from start to finish, from like the concept to the building being used?
2 years probably. And then for the LEED certification, it took long. But then we have COVID in the middle and, you know, that made everything quite slow. Yeah. So from when we began, which was 2018, until we got LEED, it took 4 years. We were looking for that quite from the beginning. So this was quite one of the objectives, not since the starting, but once we had all the design, we said, okay, let's try and do some certification, which are the things we need to do, the things we need to have. So it takes time, yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the obviously the overall title of today's conference is the winery and vineyard in 2030. And in your case, it took, 2 years to go start to finish, which to me seems really fast. At Bocastel, it's 5 years, 5 years and still going till it's finished. So for wineries thinking about changing their building, whether retrofitting old buildings or building new buildings, it takes time to get it together. Get the concept commission architects, do the builds, do the fit out. But obviously, I think the reason of today's conference being Vineyard and Winery 2030 is that that's sort of a big line in the sand for UN and EU SDGs and Environmental Action Plan deadline. So, I suppose the idea of a conference like today is to focus people's minds on if you're going to do something, do it in a timely fashion and get it done by 2030. Veronica is telling me that we've got some questions. So great. James asks, a sustainable wine roundtable. James asks, can you tell us about the economics of these projects? Oscar and Mary, do you want to tell us about the economics of your building?
Yes, for us, the Château de Bocastel renovation project is around more than 10 million euros of investment.
Yeah.
But in France, we are helped with some subsidies because our project is low energy.
Yeah.
And also, for example, if we would, in another site, we would like to recover it from our machines to its water for cleaning, for example, in the bottling line, and we can have some subsidies with that. So that's a good opportunity for us.
Yeah, and if I'm right, Bocastel is 120 hectares Plus the family runs 400 hectares of vineyards. So it's not a crazy budget for a 400 hectare family estate. And Vicky, for your
Yeah, the project in total was between 15 and 16 million euro with the machinery and everything. But here I don't include, because we have the two wineries working, so we needed to buy like new barrels, etc. That would be like a different part. But building with machinery would say between 15 and 16. Yeah. Million.
Great. And Veronica's got a question, but I can't see what it is. Okay, great. What advice do you have for someone looking to incorporate sustainable design principles into their own building as a retrofit or renovation? And then secondly, what were challenges? So Oscar and Mary, what advice do you have for someone starting a new project?
Okay, I would say that the most important is to consider your own context and to look at what you already have within your geographical location and what are the factors that you can capitalize on from your area in order to incorporate sustainability, because a lot of what we've done is harness the elements that are already there.
Yeah.
And I will just add that it is also important to be helped with experts or inspired by other wineries or be helped, yes, by consultants that can advise on solar panels or in energy in general.
Yeah. Mm. And biggest challenges?
Biggest challenges. I think it's the little things, isn't it, really? It's all very good and well to have a big renovation project, but I think the real change is a cultural change that we need to put into place to an extent. Which is still will come down to human behavior in a sense.
Yeah. And Vicky, your advice for people starting a project?
If you started something new, I agree to everything both Oscar and Marie have said, but I would say that if you wanted to go for sustainability, include it from the beginning. Because this is very important. If you start with this idea in mind, it's easier to do it than if you build something and then you say, oh, and by the way, I want to be sustainable. Once everything is designed, because it's more difficult to do it then. So yeah, include it from the beginning. Something that we did that also was great is that our winemaker in Veronia, Matias, he was the one that personally was involved in everything. I mean, he's the one that knows all the processes. He's the he's completely involved in, well, he's the winemaker and he's the technical director of the winery. So he was the one following everything and in contact with the engineering team. So this helped a lot. This helped a lot because in the end, he's the one that knows everything that happens in the winery.
Yeah. And challenges along the way of your constructions?
Well, for us, the big challenge was the COVID that, it was terrible in many ways, no? But specifically here, well, everything stopped. Working under that pressure and condition was a very big challenge, yeah. Mm.
Great. I mean, it's interesting because, the oldest certification for sustainable buildings is 1990, so it's even younger than organic farming. But I was the title of this conference reminded me of the cellars that Eddie Cante dug in the Carso in the 1980s. He was like inspired by Josko Gravner to just make serious wine, so he dug two cylindrical holes 30 meters deep into hard limestone. It took a year of digging, and so there's these two cylindrical caves which are then connected on three levels by a corridor. And it's like the Batcave in the Batman films. You have like a concrete platform that goes to the edge of the cave, hands there, goes to the edge of the cave and the concrete platform stops. And there's a gap between the floor and the wall of the cave going down. And there's just water running down the walls of the cave all year round. And it's so cold at the bottom, you can't ferment in it. So it's often around 6 degrees at the very bottom. So it's gravity flow, but the must comes down into the middle level, ferments in the middle where it's 10 or 12, and then goes up by hydraulic lift for tank aging and bottling, and then goes down by hydraulic lift if it's going to be stored at 6 degrees. And so it's part gravity, but not possible to go from top to bottom, which is really interesting. But there are little air vents that stick out of these two caves are like covered over at the top, and there are some vents in the earth which capture the breeze off the Adriatic Sea, and that brings in fresh air down into the caves down that way, and then CO2 goes out. So it's no energy input and no air conditioning. It's one of the most remarkable places I've ever seen. And you know, I think one of Italy's most serious red wine makers, he always said, "That's the best cellar there is," and it's 40 years old now. And but you know, it's so simple. But I think if that was a new project, A, you could have it certified, but also you'd probably put some solar on top to take care of your electricity supply, and you'd probably put in some water processing to deal with your water that you've used for cleaning the winery, for example. But because it's an 80s project, these things were not commonplace back then. But if anybody has the chance to go and visit Cante's cellar in the Carso, I do recommend it, because it's quite something.
Noted.
And it's about as low-fi as you get, because it's just rock and cement, and that's it. And the average age of the barrels is 20 years, so it's more like a very traditional Rioja winery or a Jerez winery than a lot of modern wineries in Italy, where barrels are often, you know, renewed so much more often. Great. If you have any more questions, please ask. Here we go. Question. Great. Philip asks, both of you, how do you deal with your wastewater? Marie and Oscar?
We will try to reuse some water in our process with some retreatments. I think it will be 70% of the water, and the other parts will be spray on some cultures like Luzerne for irrigation.
Okay.
Irrigation, yeah.
Yeah. And Vicky, what about your wastewater?
Well, for the winery, what we have is closed circuits to use as less water as we can. So circuits that use same water every time. For rainwater, we collect it in the roof. It goes to a deposit, and we use that for the fountain that I don't know if you saw in the pictures. Also for watering the gardens and for inside use like toilets and everything. Yeah.
And there's another question that's popped up, which is, were either of the family companies inspired by existing projects? And in fact, I asked Oscar and Mary this earlier, and they said they're not aware of if any of the Famille Perrin went to visit certain wineries. But Vicky, what did your research include?
I know it did. I couldn't tell you the names because I wasn't involved in the process at that moment, but I know a lot of wineries were visited at that time. Yeah. I can tell you it was the case, yes.
Yeah, going to see friends. I think in the wine business as well, we spend a lot of time visiting suppliers, visiting friends, making pleasure visits as well, when on holiday and so on. So over time, you do sort of accumulate a working knowledge of some possibilities.
Yeah, well, we have had also many visits now from other wineries, you know, that maybe are in the case that they want to build something new, that they want to go for certification, either wineries or other industries. So I think all the industry in general is quite open to that. So yeah, anyone that wants to come and visit Veronia, of course, very welcome.
Wonderful, thanks very much.
I think what I would like to add is we're unaware of the wineries that were visited, but I know that the Studio Mumbai team spent a lot of time studying some of the local architecture here in order to understand how they might be able to work with shade and the ground itself. So I know they visited a number of old churches and buildings around this region.
Yeah, which I think a lot of the historical buildings are of Spanish influence as well, going back to the introduction of Grenache and the era of the south of France and southern Rhone being part of the Spanish Empire. Yeah.
Sure.
I've never been more amazed than by walking the streets of Montpellier and all the, in the old quarter, all the street names are in Spanish still, despite it being hundreds of years later. It's amazing. Okay. So thanks very much for taking part today and showing us some images and talking about the projects. It's pretty inspiring. It shows that a lot can be done, gets energy sustainable, use local materials. It's partly about getting off the grid, I suppose. And if you don't need a lot of water and don't waste a lot of water and you recycle a lot of your water, then you're kind of you're water resilient, which is amazing. So thanks again, everyone, for taking part and for following us.